There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
In North American English, tidbit is the preferred spelling of the noun, referring to a choice morsel or a pleasing bit of something. Titbit is preferred everywhere else. Ticket, titbit.
Now, I know you're a massive fan, Steph. Game of Thrones.
Huge
fan. I've never seen one episode. I'm in the minority. I know I am.
You're missing out. I wondered why you didn't fly downstairs the other day when the chair came in. The big Game of Thrones chair was in the green room downstairs.
Didn't mean a thing to me. You know, it just looked like a chair that
covered in
I probably wouldn't have
swords.
In my house. Anyway, here's a little bit of number crunching for you. They released the allocated budget for each of the remaining six feature-length Game of Thrones episodes.
Go on.
You won't believe how much it's costing. The final eight episodes are going to cost at least $19 million each.
I would pay double.
You pay double, yeah? The number means HBO are going to be spending $115 million or more on the final episodes. Is it really worth that?
It's worth that and more.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
Getting our shimmy on with a vet judge this afternoon from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, who joins us every Monday to talk travel books, whether they be travelling by plane to somewhere exotic, by metro home after a long day at the office, or even into the kitchen to make dinner for the family. Yvette, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
It's good to see you again.
Good.
I love this time of the week because we get to find out what's going on in the world of the Emirates Lit Fest behind the scene when it comes to office gossip.
It's a busy office.
Always loads of noise, just like that.
Yeah.
What have you been talking about this week behind the scenes?
Well, this week we've been talking about all our new interns.
Interns, they're good for business.
We love interns.
Sorry, we're programmed to do that.
Yeah. Well done.
You love interns.
We do, because we've had three start this week. We've had Ibtihal, Shuruk and Mona. And they're all bright and smiley and young and enthusiastic and not a bit like me. So they are fantastic to have in the office.
Funny, isn't it? They've got all that enthusiasm, haven't they?
They have got all that enthusiasm. And even younger than that, we've got Mary, who looks after all our HR. Mary's had a baby. Baby Zoe.
Go on, Mary.
Congratulations.
I know. Nothing wrong with that. But, you learned anything off these interns? You know, I mean, even though they're new, sometimes they can teach you something, can't they?
To be honest, anything that's technology-based, they can teach me. Yeah, most definitely.
We had an intern recently, didn't we? Oh, Trish, you know.
We did, she's wonderful.
The drawly Trish with that southern drawl.
They're great. And then we come in with all our bitterness, don't we? Don't do that. Don't be doing that. Don't be working late or they'll want it all the time.
You know how many years I've been working in radio?
Actually, it's funny because I said yesterday as I left, you are allowed to go home.
Oh, well, that's great office gossip.
Anyway, at least they've had a mention on the radio today.
They have.
They'll
be happy with that.
And now, are you ready to go into battle?
I'm very ready after hearing that, yeah.
Okay, let's.
Misanthropic, ignominy, admonish, rapacious, incomprehensibilities. Word for the week.
Well then, it's the word for the week.
Someone's smug over there with his little blonde spiky hair, isn't he?
Well, all right, okay, you know, I mean, if you leave it to the last minute, what do you expect?
I don't normally, I don't know what happened, I think because our show is a bit shorter now.
Yeah, you're thinking, oh, I've got oceans of time, but you haven't, have you?
Ran out.
Yeah. So what was the word for the week this week?
It was betrump, which is such a good word, and it means to deceive.
Yeah.
It was our job to try and fit it in somewhere.
Yeah.
Natural, has to flow, not be too noticeable.
Not be written down on a script or anything like that.
Not be last minute.
Should we hear Mark's first?
Hey, it looks a bit short, mine.
Doesn't it?
Not 7 seconds. Has Marcus been fiddling? Marcus has been fiddling with the, editing again, I think. He edits mine really short so that you can hardly hear it.
7 seconds away. Here we
Seven
go.
7 seconds? I couldn't think of any reason. It's not the right answer.
No.
Right, I feel a bit betrumped there.
Yeah, that's good.
Felt a bit lazy to me.
You could have given me a bit more, Mark. You know, at least lead up a little bit. We were actually, can't remember what we're talking about now.
He's given me 11 seconds to make an impression. Here we go. Yeah, welcome along to The Ticket with Steph and Mark and Shruti to travel, entertainment, what's on, and an Ironcast guarantee that you will never knowingly be betrumped by either of us.
This is down to bad editing. Oh, come on, I mean, 7 seconds. I can hardly say betrumped in that time.
Yeah, I feel Mark's been stitched up here.
He is, definitely. I think the producer's in on it as well.
No way.
Well, I think also points have to be deducted for leaving it till the last minute.
Yeah, and I agree.
Really, but I shouldn't be in the studio when the word's being used. I think that's got to be a new rule.
Tell you what, we're getting a new producer next week. I'm going to drop her a few quid before she starts work.
So have you made a decision?
Yeah, I have. It's going to be Mark.
Yay!
It has to be.
Even with 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Mark,
you know,
did
what?
It. He came through. Go on. You're looking for
something. It's been that long since we've had to use the winner's bed
it's
with
banished.
Mark's name on. I don't think we've got it anymore.
No, it's in there. It's in there.
I can't find it.
I put it in this morning. It's actually in your little, it was in your running order. I can see it from here. I can actually see it. She just doesn't want to play it. That's what
go.
It is. Doesn't want to play it.
And the winner is Mark Lloyd.
Yes! That'll teach you for leaving it so late.
You deserve that. Well done, Mark. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. Right. Tell me, what is the big problem that authors are facing? It's happened in the world of TV and cinema. Now it's affecting books. The Da Vinci Code's Dan Brown is taking it on. If you can't figure out what it is, we'll be telling you next.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
Now, I was victorious in the word of the week. Betrump was a good word for me. Defeated Steph with ease this week. But we got a new word to slot into conversation at some point next week. All right.
We've got hapless, which I quite like. It's a nice word. It's not one I use a lot.
Quite an easy
hapless.
One, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunate. It means so. The smallest child was the hapless victim of the playground bully would be a good use of it.
You wouldn't think that hapless would mean unfortunate.
Yeah.
No, apparently the hap is an old way of saying happy. So you're hapless, you're happiless.
Oh, so you're less of happiness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hapless.
So hapless.
Hapless, we'll take that
hapless
forward. We'll
victim.
See what we can do with it.
Mm. Yep.
I'm going to do it like tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not
surprised you're not
again.
Slotting it in this show.
So we talk travel books in this segment, all different kinds of travel books, wherever you are travelling, whether it be in the back of a taxi to get home tonight or into a lovely hot bath. Could even be an actual travel book. We've got one of those on the way for you too. But before we get into our first one, some book news this week. We hear a lot of this happening with TV shows, with movies. But until this morning, I didn't realise this was a problem facing authors, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Brown's new book, Origin, released globally tomorrow. Its publisher has just launched a campaign in association with lawyers based in India to curb the sales of pirated and counterfeit copies across the country. Pirated books of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really bad, and it's more of a problem in some parts of the world than in others. And Jeffrey Archer, I remember him telling a tale about when he was visiting India, and a guy came up to him and was trying to sell him pirated copies of his own book.
Great.
So that's quite clever.
Is it a big problem then around the world?
I think it does depend where you are. And yeah. I think actually India, sadly, I think it is quite a problem there. But also I think we're all used to having everything accessible online, and it's quite easy to find PDFs of books online rather than going and buying them as an e-book. And it's great because you think you're getting it for free, but actually that writer is then deprived totally of any of the profits from book sales, which is how a writer makes his living.
Yeah.
But when it comes to pirated books, is it the same as pirated DVDs? Like, do they look exactly the same? Could we be buying them and not know that it's pirated?
Usually you can tell because it's poorer quality paper, different print, all sorts of things. It's usually quite obvious that they're pirated.
I wonder if it's something you'd feel guilty about, though, as a consumer. Because I know people who don't feel guilty about pirated TV, pirated movies.
Yeah, I used to be like that, but I am now really, really anti, because yeah. I think it's just dawned on me what you're actually doing to people, depriving them of their own living.
The thing is with a book, though, even if it's on, you know, not so good quality paper, is it going to change your enjoyment? I mean, with a DVD, if it you can see it's been filmed badly and, you know, the sound's all over the place, you're not going to enjoy it, are you? Same with a music disc. But yeah. with a book, is it going to make any difference to the final of enjoyment? It's not, is
possibly
it?
Possibly not, no, which is, you know, why there's such a good market in it, yeah.
Well, funnily enough, we are going to be starting with that book today, because that is the book that you've chosen for the plane, isn't it? Origin by Dan Brown.
Hats of Eats, out tomorrow, but I couldn't wait till next week. So Dan Brown, famous for the Da Vinci Code, made into a film, all those books he's done, all those thrillers. He has made so much money from his writing.
He has, and I love the Da Vinci Code. However, by the time he got to Inferno, lost me.
Yeah, in fact, I realised when I was researching this one, I haven't read Inferno. Sitting there
Don't
at home,
bother.
I've never read it.
It's terrible.
Oh, dear. Oh dear. Well, hopefully he's picked up a bit with Origin, which is the latest one, which is indeed coming out tomorrow. It's Robert Langton again. He's the professor of symbiology and religious iconology. And he's having more and more adventures. He's off to another museum. It's the Guggenheim in Bilbao this time, to attend the unveiling of a discovery that will change the face of science forever.
Yeah, and here's Dan just talking a little bit about where the book is set. It's got quite a nostalgic tie for him.
I actually lived in Spain as a child, went to University of Seville for a semester, and spent a couple years on and off going back and forth to Spain, set the book in Bilbao, Barcelona, Seville, Madrid. And of course, anybody who hasn't been to Spain, it is one of the great European countries, and Barcelona is one of the terrific art cities in the world.
Yeah, and the main character in the book is Edmund in Origin. And let's get to know him a bit better.
Edmund is a scientist. He's a futurist. He has made a discovery that he believes will shake the foundations of all world religion. And he has traveled to this monastery to visit the Parliament of Religions, where he's meeting with religious leaders essentially to tell them that their days are numbered.
A lot of people are going to be very excited about this book, but our charity stores in about a year's time going to be saying, do not give us any more copies.
Completely. And it's one of those really thick books as well, so it takes up loads of room on the charity shop shelves. And charity shops are completely full of The Da Vinci Code and all the other titles by Paul Dan Brown. Paul Dan Brown, no, not Paul.
Just Dan Brown.
Just Dan Brown, yeah. Rich Dan Brown.
Do you know what I would suggest you do with this? Because it's our plane book this week. Yeah. I would suggest you get it for a long flight.
Yeah.
And you read it on the flight and you leave it
in the seat pocket. I think that's a brilliant idea. More people should do that with books, actually.
Could you get through it on a flight?
I think you could, because I think if you're on a long-haul flight, I mean, I would get through this if I were flying to London.
You're asking this woman who would get through it.
I get through it if I'm flying to Abu Dhabi.
On a metro
journey. She said it was a big, thick book.
Exactly.
Ish.
She's like Johnny Five when she reads.
I think she's got some hidden talent. It's like superhero stuff, isn't it? It can read at unbelievable speed.
We couldn't get through it on any flight. Even that one that they tried to do to Panama, remember that?
Yeah.
Still no.
No chance.
So moving on to a book for the train, what have you got if we are heading home on the metro, Yvette?
Well, I found this one quite intriguing, actually. Mel Robbins' 5-second rule. And
is this about dropping food on the floor?
That's what I thought it was going to be, actually. Because I'm very, very, very good on that particular rule. But no, this is a different 5-second rule. And this is really about how we make decisions and how we can change our lives by changing the way we make decisions.
I'm so good that it's not about the 5-second rule about dropping food on the floor. Because what,
Another rule? Another 5-second rule?
Yeah, so you drop a bit of food on the floor.
Yeah.
And if you can pick it up before 5 seconds, you can still put it in your mouth.
Okay.
But does anyone else do the thing where you've dropped it and then if you can't quite get to it, you go 1, 2, 3, 4...
So after the 5 seconds, it's covered in bugs, then, is it?
Yeah.
So then you lob it in the bin.
That's how long it takes an ant to get from wherever he is to that piece of food.
That's interesting, that, isn't it? I'll remember that piece of information.
Good. Use that in life, Mark.
Yeah.
But is there something in life that stops us making changes? That's what she's talking about in this book. Because apparently, as Mel says, Mel Robbins, we are all big scaredy cats when it comes to this.
We live in a very big world. There is enough room in this world for every single one of you to be successful, for every single one of you to have your dreams come true. And you're really not in competition with one another. You're only in competition with yourself. And so I want to take 5 minutes to give you the trick to how you disrupt your own behavior and your own perspective. And it starts with a question. How long does it take to actually change? Major change in your business, in your life, in how you are as a leader actually happens in micro moments.
How long does it take to change? I've heard people say it takes about 61 days to be doing something every single day before you become a changed person, and that is just part of your routine. Yeah.
That's
a long time, isn't it?
Actually, 61 days,
isn't it? But Beyonce once said it's 21, and she was referring to doing a vegan diet, so you change your behaviour for 21 days, but it's not anymore. It's much longer than that for you to see a pattern where you completely change what you do.
Amazing.
I think that 61 days is quite depressing, actually.
It's only 61 days. If you think how many days you're around for.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I prefer 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would be good, wouldn't it, if we could change our behaviour in 5 seconds.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a tall order. I think it's somewhere in the middle.
I don't know, sometimes something snaps, doesn't it? And it changes you instantly.
Yeah, and you can make those decisions, which is what she's talking about, really, that how we actually overthink things.
Mm. Like, I'm not taking that from that person anymore.
That's it.
That's the one.
5 seconds.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
You did that, didn't you, about 2 years ago with me?
I did, didn't I? Yeah, yeah. I wasn't actually referring to that, but you know, now you brought it up.
Is there anything you feel like you need to change in your life right now? In 5 seconds?
Not in 5 seconds. Yeah, I've got to sort that dog out and let me out, you know, in the mornings.
Are there anything that you've got on your mind?
Well, yeah, one thing that I do think this fits with actually perfectly is me going out at night, doing my little nighttime walk, evening time walk. And if I think I'm going to do it, I put trainers on and I'm off. If I linger, I think,
shall I just, yeah, or something good on the TV.
So it is that snap, I'm going to do it, yeah. I'm doing it.
That doesn't work for me, you know. I have been known to put them on, go outside, get outside, and then turn around. Like, literally out the front of the building and go, nah.
Now, if it once I've got the trainers, you know, got my Velcro done, I think I'm off.
That's really good.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
A vet judge from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature joins us on Mondays to talk about books. Do you do this? Do you judge people on how they've done their house up?
Yeah, and certainly it has to be books, and that's why I don't particularly like e-books, because if everybody's got their books on the Kindle, you can't look at their sneaky look at their bookshelves.
Who are they?
Yeah, you need a quick look. Mind you, anybody looking at mine would be seriously concerned about my multiple personality disorders.
It'd all be murder, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and a bit of cooking, a bit of children's stuff. Yeah. A bit of travel.
What's she going to do with you after she's murdered you? So we're moving on to another book. We take you travelling with our books every single Monday, and it could be travelling wherever. The next book we're going to look at is If Your Children Are Travelling Off Into the Land of Nod. What have you got for us?
Oh, I've got a really fun book, actually. It's by Gary Northfield, who is an expert in writing comic book strips. And he's done a series of books about Julius Zebra. And Julius, not surprisingly, is a zebra. And he's a Roman zebra. So he lives with a random mix of other animals and human beings in Roman times. And the one I've got here is called Julius Zebra, or Zebra, depending on where you come from, of course, Bundle with the Britons. So he eventually goes off and has a little bit of an adventure. He goes to ancient Egypt and all sorts of places in his little Roman empire days. So they are good fun.
Well, we find it increasingly difficult to find clips, don't we, of kids' books?
But who needs clips when you've got talent like this in the studio?
Exactly. So we thought we could act these out. And it's been going brilliantly well.
I'm George Clooney revisited.
We've had, I think, one text message on this saying we did well over the last few weeks. Yeah. We're going to carry on doing it. That's all we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
So who's playing who today, Yvette?
Well, I think we've got a narrator, that'd probably be me. And then we've got Steph, who's going to be Emperor Hadrian. We've got Mark, who's going to be Julius Zebra. And we've got Shruti, who is going to be Cornelius the Warthog.
First time we've brought Shruti in. Do not let us down.
No.
Okay,
any
I'll
nerves
try.
Or, nerves okay. over there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite nerve-wracking.
Right, let's take it away.
Okay. Hadrian stopped in front of Julius and placed his hand on the zebra's shoulder.
So much so that I need you, my people's champions, to go to the distant corner of our empire and inspire my citizens.
He waved his fist triumphantly in the air.
I want you to show them what it means to be a warrior, Roman.
He stared Julius right in the eye. Julius blinked nervously, not knowing where to look.
Sounds fair enough,
he mumbled.
Where are we off to then? Gaul? Egypt? Will I need my bucket and spade?
We're sending you to... Britannia!
Declared Hadrian. All the animals looked at each other, bewildered.
Britannia?
Cried Julius.
Oh, how perfect.
Ah.
Hadrian smiled, impressed.
You've heard of our exotic little outpost, then?
Oh, no, I've never heard of the place.
Replied Julius.
I'm just excited about going on hollybobs.
Cornelius's grin turned into a grimace.
I've heard of it,
he whispered to Julius.
And it's not good.
That wasn't a bad one this week, was it? Should have recorded that.
I don't know, I feel like I messed the beginning up a little bit. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Let us down.
Oh, well.
So if you do want to find that book for your kids and read it to them before they go off into the land of Nod, what's it called again?
It is called Julius Zebra Bundle with the Britons. But any of the series, they're all brilliant.
It does sound brilliant. Sounds really, really fun. Next book we're going to look at today is For the Back of a Taxi.
Yeah. And it's an audio book.
It is an audio book. And this is one where you might want your taxi journey to be a very, very long one. Erin Kelly, he said, she said. And it's my favourite sort of book. It's one where you're sort of plunged into it, but then you know there's weird stuff that's happened in the past and it's coming out gradually. So we've got the central character who is upstairs in the house. She's expecting babies. She's padding round her husband.
When you say expecting babies, do you mean
twins?
Oh, I didn't know if you meant like twins. To pop round.
Oh, no, sorry. Actually, as in about to give birth to them.
Okay.
Kit, her husband, is about to go off on a journey to see a solar eclipse, which is something he does. He's an astrophysicist and he's always travelling around the world whenever he possibly can to go and see eclipses. She would normally go with him, but she can't because she's pregnant. And that seems okay. But then, oh, there's all this sort of stuff that starts coming out about things that obviously happened in the past that have affected who they are. Are their names really what we think they are? Have they actually got other names? Have they got new identities?
Is he really going to see eclipses?
Mm. He is. But, well, actually, yeah, I've not finished it yet, but I think he is. But we're also sort of travelling back through time, back to 1995. So it's sort of 10-year gap between the action. It's good.
So here's what it'll sound like in the back of your taxi.
London is the most light-polluted city in Britain. But even here in the northern suburbs, you can still see the stars at 4 o'clock in the morning. The lights are off in our attic study. And I don't need Kit's telescope to see Venus. A crescent moon wears the pale blue planet like an earring. The city is at my back. The view from here is over suburban rooftops and dominated by Alexandra Palace. By day, it's a Victorian monstrosity of cast iron, brick and glass. But in the small hours, it's a spike in the sky. Its radio mast tipped with a glowing red dot.
Oh, it does sound good, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, really, like the really narration.
Good. Definitely, yeah, and you've got two people doing it because it's called He Said, She Said, and it's by Erin Kelly.
Love it. We're going to come back with another book for you. This one is if you are travelling into a lovely hot bath tonight.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
And Yvette, we are all heading into a lovely warm bath together next.
We are indeed. And quite often, I don't know why, it's very sexist. I choose my bath book is quite often a maybe more female oriented. So this time I've gone the other way, I think. And I think a lot of gentlemen that I come across enjoy reading Robert Harris. The first one I read by him was called Fatherland, came out many years ago. And Robert Harris's latest one that is in the bestsellers is called Munich. Short and sweet title. You might guess from that it is set in the 1930s. It's set just before the Second World War, 1938. And it's about the peace that they are trying to build with Chamberlain. And how that's not going to work.
It sounds heavy.
It is quite heavy, but he's a really good storyteller. So it's not a light read. It's you may want a sort of different. You don't want light florals in your bath for this one. You want something heavier in your bath.
Couldn't have any music on in the background.
No.
Full concentration.
Full concentration on this one. But it's really good.
Yeah. Now Robert Harris, a lot of his books are driven by politics, and there's a reason for that, as he explains.
From childhood, really, I was very interested in politics and power. And it's my sort of area, really. I worked on as a political journalist. I've known a lot of politicians. And I am intrigued by it, the way that power operates and the effects it has on human beings. And politics is often dismissed as dull. Well, I think it's the most interesting thing there is. And I'm categorised as a thriller writer, I think partly because I write about politics.
Yeah, do you know what? Books about politics, I have never thought about reading these, but the author of Sexual Politics, it was called, died recently, and I listened to a podcast about that and thought, I must read that book.
Yeah, and Robert Harris is such a good writer, and it's not normally my genre, I have to say, but as I say, many, many years ago, I read Fatherland, and I've loved his writing ever since.
Okay, so this week we are taking Robert Harris and Munich into the bath with us. Had a great texting, yeah. Which, do you know what? This has made it all worthwhile for me.
It does, Marilyn. I've suddenly forgotten the word of the week. Please help. And your show helps my kids' vocabulary as I use this word at home to teach the kids. That's
makes
brilliant,
me so
isn't it?
Happy.
I know.
So me happy. Too. Oh. Yeah. So the word this week was hapless.
It was hapless. Yeah, unfortunate. Yeah.
Good luck, kids. Good luck at using that. I hope they're better than we are.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to come in and drop it in conversation on the radio, do you?
I think you should get them to phone in with how they've used it, actually.
Super cute. All right, it's my favourite travel book this week, and that is Travelling into the Kitchen to Cook Tea.
Okay, now this one, I think if you did the whole muscle thing, it would really help you with this book.
A muscle
because,
up?
Yeah, a muscle up. because I'm just going to try and lift this book. It's so
huge.
It's a huge book. And it's by one of my... I love everything about this book. I love the cover. And it's The Food of Spain by Claudia Roden, who's been writing about food for years. And she really helped popularise Mediterranean food, including Italian, Spanish. So she has done a brilliant job here of weaving together stories and recipes. And I love paella. That's probably one of my favourite dishes ever.
Instantly hungry.
Yeah, I'll always order it. And there are recipes in here for many different paella.
Yum.
Yeah, now, it's stunning.
Yeah, Claudia's roots are far from Spain, and these cookbooks have helped her kind of hang on to those roots.
I'm sure I would never have written a cookbook if it wasn't for the fact that we had to leave Egypt and we thought we would never, ever go back again. And that... we missed Egypt already by then, and we missed each other. We were a very big and vital community.
So she's actually got some recipes in there from her home as well, from Egypt. Oh, that's great.
It's beautiful.
A real mishmash.
Yeah, and it's a great book for sitting and actually reading, because, as I say, she talks about the stories, the people who create the recipes and so on, and people she's met and known, and it's just a great book. I love it.
So Claudia Rudden, The Food of Spain. Do let us know today if you've read any of the books that we're talking about.
Yeah, we've had a text from Harriet. Hi, guys. I've read this book and it was excellent.
He said, she said, you're talking about there, Harriet.
Yeah, that was the audiobook.
Good to know.
It? Yeah.
Thank you very much. Moving on to a travel book.
Okay, so my travel book this week is by Mike Viking. And I don't know whether you remember some time ago, I talked about the little book of Hygge, which is all about the Danish sort of comfort candles and stuff. This one is the little book of Luca. And Luca, apologies to any Danes listening, my pronunciation may not be accurate, is the word for happiness. And the guy who's written this, and I think it's real, he's the CEO of the Happiness Research Institute in Copenhagen to measure, understand and generate happiness. And that ties in brilliantly with Dubai. And in this book, he travels all around the world talking to people to find out what makes them happy. And in fact, he's talked to the Minister of Happiness in the United Arab Emirates.
Brilliant.
So, I just came across this and thought, what a brilliant book. So it's a happy travel book.
Well, the way this is spelled, L-Y-K-K-E, there's a band called Likey Lee who spell it the same. Try to say Likey.
That's some information that we needed.
There you go. Yeah. Do you like that?
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, this Hygge business, it was a huge buzzword last year and the year before that as well. If you completely miss the meaning of it, here's Mike and he can fill you in on that.
Hygge to us is as integral part of our culture and our national DNA as freedom is to the Americans. So it's something we're very mindful of. It's something we talk about tremendously. It's something we plan for. It's something we acknowledge when it happens. We can say, this is very hyggelig.
But if you say that nowadays, then you're really off trend, aren't you? Mm. It's not about the Hygge anymore.
You're out of date.
You're still saying Luca?
Yeah, honestly, there's a whole thing. There's a picture. I'll hold it up and show you.
It's like
at the front of the book. No, it shows you. Look, it says Luca.
Okay. Okay.
Phonetic spelling.
All right.
Luca. Yeah.
Well, amazingly, this week we have managed to get all of our books in, and next we are moving on.
Yeah, to a podcast.
To a podcast for when your hands are busy doing something else.
Okie doke. So this week's, I forgot to say one more was this year. This week's podcast is You Are Not So Smart.
Don't be mean to Mark, Yvette.
Well, that was lined up easily, wasn't it?
It just leapt off the page at me. What I will say about this podcast, it's about lots and lots of different things. But I did find the guy who's actually introducing it and speaking a bit annoying.
People have said that about us.
It's great content, but I just wish...
Don't like the way it's delivered. No.
No. Oh. Great speakers, great people he's interviewing,
but he sort of rambles. Maybe I felt an affinity with him, actually, come to think of it.
Well, we have a little snippet here, and it's from episode number 83, called Idiot Brain.
This is neuroscientist Dean Burnett, who's written a new book, Idiot Brain.
So when we are in motion by under our own steam, under our own power, we are walking and travelling along by our own ambulation, there's a very specific set of sensory... So when you're sat in a car or a ship or a plane or whatever it is, you are sort of motionless in a more physical sense. Your body isn't moving and you don't know any signals about that. And you're also within a contained environment, especially on a ship or something like that, where your eyes can't see any signs of movement. So all your senses are telling the brain that we are still, we are not moving. But the balance sensors in your ears, which respond to physics, they are saying we're moving quite a lot.
So, yeah, you're right. Interesting content.
Yeah, brilliant. And you didn't get the presenter there, so that was excellent. Dean Burnett, who's written the book called Idiot Brain, speaking there.
Oh, mean. Yeah. Poor guy. He's probably worked on that for ages.
Needs to work a bit harder.
Well, that's lovely. I tell you what, Schutz is going to put all of that together and put it on the Ticket blog today. So if you would like to go back through and see our travel boots this week, then you can do that to buyi1038.com. Just look for Radio Boot Club on there and be part of it. Yvette, thank you so much. We're going to see you again next year.
Next year, absolutely.
Bye. Radio Book Club.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.